We are going to be moving into a new sermon series this morning, and the scripture reading is Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 to 17. The verses will come for us on screen, and Varsha will help us read the passage.
My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes, that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He grazes among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Varsha. We are kicking off a new sermon series on the Old Testament book of Song of Solomon. Now, the first thing I need to say about Song of Solomon is that it is a graphic book on the romantic, sensual, and even erotic love between a husband and a wife. So if this is your very first time in a church, what a week you've picked to come to New City. I mean, you couldn't have timed it better. And so there's no point really to try to beat around the bush or to try to ignore the lovingly erotic exchanges between husband and wife in this book. And there are plenty, I can assure you that. This book speaks so openly about sex between a husband and a wife that people are shocked that it's even part of the Bible. But in truth, we should not be shocked at all. You will be shocked as we kind of unpack the book over the next few weeks. But in truth, we should not be shocked at all. We should not be shocked for two reasons. First, it is God who designed and gave humanity the gift of romantic and sexual love between husband and wife. Joyful, intimate, glorious, and deeply satisfying sex between husband and wife is God's design. And so we shouldn't be surprised at all that the Bible has a book, a glorious book, on love and sex within marriage. The second reason we shouldn't be shocked at all that there's a book like this in the Bible is this. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has often revealed himself as a husband in a marriage or a covenantal union with his people. In the Old Testament, we can see that God is the ever-faithful husband with steadfast love, always, even though his people were unfaithful and adulterous many, many, many times, like a promiscuous wife. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us that the love of a husband for his wife actually points to the infinitely greater love that Christ, our bridegroom, has for us, his bride, the church. And so this book, Song of Solomon, is not just an account of the intense love between this husband and his wife, we'll see as the story unfolds, but it is also an invitation to consider the passionate love that Christ has for those whom he has redeemed by sacrificing his very life. So all the account and the imagery of the husband loving his wife in this book is also a pointer and an invitation for us to see how Christ loves us, his church. And we will explore both of these themes in every sermon in this series. I also don't intend to avoid the graphic and the erotic portions in this book, and there are plenty. I'm glad we have kids' church. 81 under 13 goes there. I'm not going to ignore these portions because these are also part of God's word. And these portions of scripture, all of the Bible, God tells us is helpful for us. All of the Bible is the whole truth of God's word. And so every portion of scripture must be read, meditated upon, preached through, and applied in our lives. But today, having said all that, but today I'm going to disappoint some of you. Today, I'm not going to preach on love, sex, or marriage. We will start that. We will really get into that from next week onwards. And I guess we will have a full attendance next week. But today I'm going to preach about the upcoming church retreat. Don't be surprised. If you remember the passage we read, twice in the passage, the bridegroom calls his bride to come away. Verse 10, my beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. And then again in verse 13, the bridegroom repeats the same call to his beloved. He says, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. A church retreat is a response to Christ calling us to come away. And so it's quite appropriate that even before we get into love, sex, and marriage, we first begin with the foundations of our love for Jesus. It is our love for Jesus that completes and makes whole the love between a husband and a wife. And so, the bridegroom calls his beloved to come away, Christ frequently calls us. As we all know, we're going to be going on a three-day church retreat from September 12th to 14th. And from the very beginning, from the time we started working on this retreat over 1 year ago, this retreat has always been designed as an intentional choice to leave all our work and all our joys and all our sorrows behind to come away to be with Christ, the lover of our souls. What the bridegroom tells his bride in the Song of Solomon is what Christ would lovingly and ever so frequently whisper to each one of our hearts. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. In exactly 8 weeks, all of us will come away from Mumbai to be with Christ for 3 days. We will leave our homes, we will leave our offices, we will leave our studies behind, our deadlines, our WhatsApp messages, our worries, our successes, our failures. We're going to leave all of these behind in response to Christ calling us, calling to us, saying, arise, my love, come again, come away. We're going to see from this passage that God does some wonderful things in us when we come away to be with Christ. And so I'd like to draw two things for us from the passage. What Christ does in us when we come away to be with him. So the sermon is titled, Come Away. And second, enjoying Christ, our beloved. What Christ does in us when we come away to be with him. And second, enjoying Christ, our beloved. Let's start with the first. Today's passage invites us to see three things that Christ does in us when we come away to be with him through something like this retreat. He changes our perspective. He prunes us. He protects the quality of our lives. He changes our perspective. He prunes us. He protects the quality of our life. Let's start with the first. He changes our perspective. Look from verse 10 onwards. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Listen carefully to how the bridegroom invites his bride. He doesn't simply say, come away. He says, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers have appeared on earth, spring has come, the time of singing has come, the voice of the turtle dove is heard, so come away with me. Do you see what the bridegroom is doing here? He's telling his bride, stop what you are doing, come with me, and see all this beauty that you are not yet noticing. The bride is not unaware of what's happening around her. She's not unaware of the beauty around her, but she has no time to notice it. She has been far too busy with her work, and that's not uncommon in Mumbai. I say this because that's exactly what she says in chapter 1, which we'll look at next week. Chapter 1, verse 6. Do not stare at me because I am dark, for the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me caretaker of the vineyards, but I have not taken care of my own vineyard. And so this bride has been extremely busy. She's been caught up with work, something we can all relate to. And so even though the world around the bride is bursting with beauty and life and joy, the bride has been so busy with her work and with the demands of life that she has not yet been able to really enjoy this unfolding beauty around her. And so the bridegroom is inviting her, come away and enjoy this beauty with me. Isn't this what Christ does for us? When Jesus calls us to come away for something like a retreat, he's not merely calling us to leave our offices, our deadlines, and our schedules behind. Christ is calling us to see what our busyness has made us blind to. Christ is calling us to see the beauty that our busyness has made us blind to. In Mumbai, in the busyness and the noise of everyday life, we stop noticing his grace. We forget to remember his faithfulness. We shift our gaze away from his beauty. We stop noticing his presence with us, in us. In Mumbai, we become so consumed with what we have to do that we forget to see what God is doing in us and around us. And Christ calls us away because he wants to change our perspective. He wants us to lift our eyes up from our calendars to his kingdom. He wants us to lift our eyes from our anxieties to his promises, from our stress and deadlines to his beauty. And sometimes when we go away on a retreat like this, the greatest thing that God does is not to change our circumstances, but to change the way we see. When we come away with Jesus, he changes our perspective. There's one more thing I want to invite us to see in this passage. Look again at verse 13. Excuse me. The fig tree ripens its figs and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. The bridegroom's invitation to his bride comes in spring, We know that because the evidence is there. The fig trees are ripening. They need to be harvested. The vines are in blossom. This would have been the busiest seasons of the year for people in that time. And yet it is precisely at this moment that the bridegroom says, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away." Notice here what the bridegroom does not say. He does not say, "Come away when life becomes a little less busy. Come away when you've managed to finish your work. Come away when you've got everything under control." No. He calls her in the midst of life's demands. Isn't that how Christ deals with us too? Jesus doesn't wait until life slows down to speak to us. He often calls us precisely when life feels busiest. But why? Why would Jesus do this? He does this because busyness has a way of dulling our hearts. Busyness fills our minds with so much noise that we tend to forget Christ himself. Busyness fills our schedules with so much stress that we completely stop noticing and enjoying his grace. Busyness fills our lives with so many urgent but unnecessary things. In the end, like Martha, if you remember from the gospel accounts, we forget the one thing that is truly necessary. So Christ always speaks to us, always calls us to come away in the midst of our busyness, not just when you're free and have a lot of leisure time. Christ is calling us to come away because he wants us to see the beauty that our busyness has made us blind to. Listen, we will always make time for whatever captures our hearts. Always. Imagine you're married and you're deeply in love. You're working from home on a very important project. You're at home, and in the middle of your work, your spouse walks in, wraps her arms around you, and simply wants to be with you. Wouldn't you gladly stop for a few minutes just to be with her? Think about it. We would assume that we would. But I know from personal experience that I often fail to do this. I might give a casual kiss or a perfunctory hug, but my heart is still on getting the work done. Despite the hug, despite her coming to me. Not that I don't love my wife, of course I do, but because of my work, I forget how much I love my wife. The Christian life, walking with Jesus, is no different. Not that we don't love Christ, but when busyness clouds our hearts, we forget the one who is truly important. When life gets busy, we forget the one who is truly glorious. And this is why things like the church retreat matters. Not because Christ will meet us only at the retreat, not at all. And not because we cannot seek him here, not because we cannot seek him in our homes. In fact, every Sunday when we come together like this, we are actually pulling us out of our busyness to meet with Christ on Sunday morning. So we do that every week. But because we are living in so busy and so demanding a city like Mumbai, we do need to occasionally come away for a few precious days in order to really remember the one who truly matters. When we go away, leaving our work behind, leaving everything behind for 2-3 days in something like a retreat like this, we remember that Christ is infinitely more beautiful than everything else that competes for our attention. We remember that Christ is our heart's delight. We remember, as Song of Solomon 5:10 says, Christ is the most beautiful among 10,000. We remember that the one who gave his very life for us is worthy of our undivided attention. And if you'd consider yourself to be part of New City, and if you haven't signed up to the retreat, I really do want to encourage us to come. I know that few of you are unable to come for very genuine reasons. I understand, though. I still wish you would come. But if there is, for those of us who haven't signed up, if there's no life or death reason that's preventing you from coming away, I want to encourage you. Do come. Don't hesitate to give up other things so you can come and be with Christ. And for the 75, 80 of us who have already signed up, including children, I want to say this sermon is the beginning of preparing our hearts to come away to be with Christ, our beloved. You know, if you don't prepare your hearts and if you show up at the retreat, it's going to take you 3 to 4 days just to come to the retreat. The retreat is just a 2-hour drive away. Physically, you'll be there at a retreat, but emotionally, spiritually, you will still be back in the midst of your work and the troubles of Mumbai. So it'll be a shame if you come to the retreat and spend 2 days just getting to the retreat emotionally, and the retreat will be done. So it's important we prepare ourselves. So over the next 2 months, you're going to hear a few small things that's going to help us prepare our hearts for a retreat. Would you not prepare well? Prepare your hearts to go meet your beloved. That's what we will do. Let's get back to the passage. So first, Christ, our bridegroom, calls us out of our busyness, and he changes our perspective. He changes the way we see the world. Second, when we go out on a retreat like this to be just with Christ, he prunes us. Verse 12 in this passage is extremely interesting. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. If you have a Bible that has footnotes, and if you look at the footnotes, one of those footnotes will tell you that the word singing here in the original Hebrew is all actually also the word pruning. Pruning is when you cut a plant, cut off branches so that it grows even better. The NASB translation of the Bible actually has the word pruning instead of the word singing. That's it in NASB. The blossoms have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. You prune the vines during springtime. So is it singing or is it pruning? Both, actually. The original Hebrew, the word used to communicate, it's the same word that is used to communicate both meanings, singing and pruning. And so one Bible commentator argues that the original author of the Song of Solomon actually deliberately used this word to communicate both ideas of singing and pruning, both of which happen in springtime. Spring is a season of joyful singing. Even the birds are singing songs of worship to their creators. But spring is also a time of careful pruning of the vines, cutting away all that is not necessary, cutting away things that affect our growth, cutting away the things that stop us from being more fruitful. This is really beautiful. This is beautiful because it tells us that God's love for us is expressed both in delight and affection and also careful cultivation. Healthy love, divine love, God's love includes both affection and delight for us and also disciplining us, pruning us so we can bear lasting fruit. So when we step away from the busyness of the city, leaving behind everything, nothing's going to go away. They're all going to be there when you come back. But when we leave the busyness of the city and go away, we see Christ more clearly. And when we see Christ more clearly, we automatically place less weight on all the unnecessary things in life. All good things, many good things. But we see them in their proper place. This is the beauty of Jesus. When we sing to him in worship, he automatically also prunes us. That's also kind of what verse 15 is alluding to. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards of our vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. In a retreat, when we come away to worship Christ for a few days, Christ often exposes the little foxes that have slipped into the vineyards of our hearts. The Bible calls these little foxes because they don't seem like big threats. So at 11 p.m., and you take 15 minutes to reply to a work email that could have very well waited for the next morning, that's a little fox. Or you worry more about a workplace issue than you should, than you need to, that is a little fox. Or you spend 30 minutes on LinkedIn, and when you log out, you come up feeling small and less worthy because you've just seen someone you know is a lot more successful than you are. That is yet another little fox. The way life flows in Mumbai, we stop noticing these foxes altogether. They just feel like a normal part of our life. We just assume they should be there in our lives. But we also know that these things are slowly robbing the joy of life out of us. They are spoiling the vineyards of our hearts. But when we come away 3-4 days, like in a retreat like this, Christ has a way of helping us see and catch and get rid of these little foxes. These little foxes, have no doubts about it, will otherwise spoil your lives. So when we take time to come away with Jesus, he protects the quality of life that he gives us. We can be successful, we can have all our needs provided for, we can live in a good home, we can have a wonderful family, but if you have these little foxes gnawing at your heart, there is no joy in life. You can't enjoy the blessings Christ has given us. So we need to get rid of these little foxes. And that brings us to the second and the last thing that I'd like to draw out for us today. Enjoying Christ, our beloved. So far in the sermon, we've seen that when we come away to be with Christ, he changes our perspective, he prunes us, and he protects the quality of our lives. And these are all wonderful gifts that we receive when we come away to be with Christ. But don't make the mistake of thinking that we come away to Christ only because we need him. Of course we do. We desperately need Jesus to open our eyes. We desperately need Christ to prune us. We desperately need all of us, every single one of us, without exception. We desperately need Jesus to change us. But that is not the greatest reason we come away with Christ. There is another, even greater reason. The only thing greater than our desire to see Christ is his desire to see us. Look at verse 14. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me, this is the bridegroom speaking to the bride, Christ speaking to you, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your face, your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Christ longs to see your face because he finds your face lovely. Christ desires to hear your voice because he finds your voice sweet. What a beautiful verse. What an astonishing truth. Jesus delights in the fellowship of those whom he has redeemed. In fact, the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus prayed to his Father, and he said something remarkable as a part of that prayer. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory. Do you hear what Christ is saying? He's saying, I desire that they may be with me. Because he has redeemed you by his blood, Jesus desires your fellowship. He desires to see your face. He longs to hear your voice. He delights when you come away into his presence. Listen, there will be seasons where all of us feel unseen. There will be seasons when you will feel unloved, even by those closest to you. We're going to see in the next few weeks that there'll be seasons when you will feel unloved by your very spouse, the one you love more than anyone else in this world. There will be seasons when you will feel unloved by your parents. There will be seasons when you will feel unloved by your children. And there will even be seasons when you will look at yourself and you will feel ashamed, ugly, and unlovable. There will be seasons when you will struggle to love yourself. And yet, even in those seasons, Christ says, let me see your face, for your face is lovely. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. Come away with me. Christ delights to come away with those whom he has redeemed. Now, I want to make one thing clear. This is beautiful, but I don't want this to be misunderstood. It's so easy for what I'm saying to be misunderstood, especially in the Christian culture that's prevalent. This is not a me-centered gospel. The gospel from beginning to end is always about God. Jesus is perfectly complete, perfectly joyful, and perfectly glorious in himself. He has no need. There is no necessity that he feels for our love or for our worship. Christ is not dependent on us for anything. If all of us never loved Jesus at all for all eternity, he would lose nothing. He will not diminish one bit. And yet, in his sovereign grace, he has chosen to love us. He has chosen to long to see our face. He has chosen to desire to hear our voice because he has redeemed us and he has made us his own. And so the only thing that is greater than our need to see Jesus is his gracious desire to have us with him. So let me close with verse 16. My beloved is mine and I am his. This is the bride speaking now. Christ is ours and we are his. How did that even become possible? How did a holy Christ, how did a holy God come to belong to sinful people? And how did sinners like you and I come to belong to a holy bridegroom. This happened only because this bridegroom, Jesus, was willing to lay his life down for his bride. And so this invitation of Christ, come away, this is not a cheap invitation. This invitation cost Jesus everything. It cost him his honor. It cost him his very life. For Christ to call us his beloved, he first had to bear our sin upon himself. He first had to endure the punishment for our sins upon himself on the cross. In his death on the cross, he had to purchase us with his own death, with his own blood, for him, for a holy God to call sinners my beloved. Listen, Christ, our bridegroom, has already paid the bride price with his own life. He has already redeemed us, and he has already made us his own. And now, ever so often, Jesus is saying, come away. He is calling us into his chambers. He has given his life for you. Would you not come away with him? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for just showing the love that Jesus has for us, for reminding us that even when we feel unlovable ourselves, when we struggle to love ourselves, you still long to see our face. You still long to hear our voice. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this is not just about one retreat for 3 days, but this is about a lifestyle. A lifestyle of coming away to be with Christ, our Savior, to be with Christ, our Beloved. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to grow in this rhythm of retreating. Give us retreats every day, Lord. Quiet windows where we can come away from the rest of life to be with you. Help us. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.